Paging all tech docs. Clinic is open if your technology has a fever. Your network is short of breath, or your system just stopped responding. You're in the right place. Here we diagnose digital disorders, troubleshoot stubborn symptoms, and prescribe real-world fixes for modern tech problems.
No guesswork, no snake oil, just practical solutions.
Welcome to the Tech Talk!
Hi everyone, Jackie here. Welcome to a very, very special edition of the Tech Doc podcast. Stuart Hitch and I had an opportunity to interview Billy Liu, the developer of the Daisy app. This is one fascinating conversation with a very, very cute story. But I started by asking Billy to tell us a little bit about himself and the inspiration for developing the app.
I actually come from a game development background, and I used to work in a company called Ubisoft. And if you ever play a game called Rayman, and you probably know the kind of things that I worked on. So,
oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I know a few games, like they did Assassin's Creed and all those games.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. 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 So, talking about the app, Daisy really started from my involvement with the St. Tobin's Macular Group in Hertfordshire in the UK here. So, I was hearing directly from people with sight loss about a very ordinary things could become surprisingly difficult. Things like reading a label, finding things, checking clothing, understanding what's around them, and or simply just, you know, using a website. So initially I started to build a small tool around those real problems, and it gradually grew into Daisy. I think the important thing is that I didn't build a finished app and then go looking for visually impaired people to test it. The community has really been part of the development journey from the beginning.
Are you visually impaired yourself, or do you have like family members who have a visual impairment, or is it just like with interaction with this group with macular?
All right. Okay. So I'm always, first of all, Stuart, I'm not visually impaired, but I'm always love to do a bit of a charity work, and being a member of our local food bank. And also the Macular Group was founded by my previous boss, and she retired, and now she's the chair. So she asked me if I would like to help, and I said yes. So that was part of me start to understand that, wow, you know, it's a complete different understanding. Now, seeing these people are struggling with life, I had a different level of the knowledge about what's being called as visually impaired. And another family, close family of us, my wife's uncle, sadly, you know, recently passed away due to cancer. And in the late a few months, I remember when we visit him, and he said one thing that really stayed with me. He said that, you know, I've got so many people come to see me every day, and but I can't see who they are, because I couldn't remember exactly the issue was probably diabetic related with the vision loss. But he said that, you know, there's a central vision loss, and he couldn't see who they are. He couldn't see our faces. He couldn't see the figure, if you like. He couldn't see how many people roughly. But he said that, I just can't see who you are. And we were really, we feel really bad for that. So that moment, and also the involvement with the macular disease, so that got me into the idea that I can do something to help.
And what kind of makes your kind of, like, because there's been said a few different apps, but your app just is different. It reads a lot better. It definitely identifies a lot better. Like, I have a number of these apps, and it always identifies my dog as a large cat, i.e. panther. But your app identified that there is a black dog curled up on a bed. And I was like, wow. That is, like, I couldn't get
Accuracy.
over it. Like, it's the accuracy of not seeing a big black cat on the bed. It's seen a dog. And how does that happen?
You're talking about how Daisy sees things and
Yes.
interprets
Yes.
into.
Yeah, the scribe for me, isn't it? That bit, Jackie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, how you'd managed to do it that accurately and not see
Okay.
a cat.
So I think Daisy, first of all, it's all these kind of, you see, hundreds probably nowadays, like AI imagery analysis app. Basically, it's powered by AI models, either ChatGPT or Claude or Gemini these days. So AI has the ability to see the image or the video and be able to analyze it into human language and to describe the way that we understand. That just sounds really simple, but involves quite a lot of fine-tuning, able to understand how the AI work, and you need to tell kind of like programming the AI what to say, what not to say. I give you one example. One day we did a demo of I don't want to name that app. It's very, very famous app for the community, and
Yeah,
we
no,
just
that's fair
demo
enough. That's fair enough. Yeah.
we just demoed it to how brilliant this technology is. You can just simply put the camera viewing to anywhere, point anywhere, and the app will tell you what they see. When we put that camera facing to the audience, so the camera says that the AI, sorry, the app says that, I see a group of old people.
Oh, God.
So that kind of thing, we being a developer, it's not only choosing the most advanced technology. Also, you need to understand a human, understand what the receiving end's feeling, especially people with elderly and people with vision lost community. You need to understand the impact of language because that's the sense they get because they lost part of the sense, and listening is another. It can be quite sensitive, so. One of the example, like Daisy has got a f feature called appearance check. So basically, this is just for anyone that who couldn't see and probably live on their own and wants to do a quick appearance check before they go out for a meeting or appointment. So Daisy can tell, if their hair's all right, your glasses are tilted or level, any mark on your shirt. So we need to make sure that AI is not being judgmental in on people's appearance. Just do not comment on people's appearance. Only comment on the practical bit where the user wants. I don't want to create an app like a hot or not, if you see what I mean.
Yes, exactly,
So
yeah.
that kind of thing that makes I think makes Daisy very special. It's where almost all of the features that came from the community's idea. I may show you a screenshot of the first version of Daisy. It's really, really different, and really, really different from what you see now.
Yeah.
We receive feedback almost every day, morning when we open email. There's a lot of email coming through from our Daisy community, Daisy users. And some of the ideas are brilliant, and some of the ideas are crazy. And I quite kind of like these crazy ideas, and always give
Yeah.
us inspiration about, yeah.
What's the craziest one?
I think I sent you a crazy one of dog poo.
Yeah,
Well, I'm not surprised by that, Jackie.
Some idea is quite emotional. For example, like this is not via email. It's actually from a gentleman from my local community group, Macula group, and he misses his granddaughter a lot, Ruby. He told me that every time Ruby sent him a audio WhatsApp message, that made him a day. And he was just kind of like joking that if Daisy can speak with Ruby's voice, and everyone laughed at that time. But when I went home and I thought, yeah, what if? So we now have this feature that you can create your own voice in Daisy app. So
Oh.
basically, just if you go to the setting, you scroll down to the voice selections. The last one is create your own voice. You can ask your loved ones to read like 30 seconds of the screen, and then the Daisy can, I don't know if I can use the word clone, with the consent, of course. And Daisy can create that voice, and you'll be able to use that voice. It actually creates a very warmth, human feeling touch
Yeah.
to the cold technology, if you like.
So is that kid
Absolutely.
then? Is that the kid? Because whenever you start the app, it is a child's voice. And is that?
Was very
That
unusual when I came across
that
that, right?
yeah.
Yeah.
That's my daughter. I use
Oh.
I
Oh, wow.
yeah when I create when I develop that feature, I use my daughter voice. I say, do you mind if daddy use your voice to try that? And she said, oh, I'm really happy, people in the world can hear my voice. So yeah.
Oh, that is lovely, and I'm glad she was so interested that she was willing to like help you to put out such a fantastic app and be involved in it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it is a
at the
phenomenal.
moment, she's only 10 at the moment.
Yeah, she'll get into be a teenager. It's like, oh, I don't like that voice. Could you take it out,
Yeah, no
please?
way.
The wedding day, go back to that app.
Yeah, the wedding day, you'll be up on stage and be like, oh, I remember when you were 10 years old. Like, here's your voice for everyone to hear. And I've been looking at your Facebook page and I saw that you had actually been trying to use the Meta glasses with Daisy. Are you still playing away with that, or has that kind of gone by the wayside, or is it?
I think the glasses are very exciting direction because hands-free access is so natural. We are exploring possibilities around Meta glasses at the moment, but I also want to be 100% transparent that there has been a bit of a delay in how quickly we've been able to move on to Meta integration side. I can't totally blame Meta for all the developers that we all know that it's kind of like a very, not very, yeah, a bit of unfriendly Meta towards to the third party developers, not like Apple and Android side. But a lot of that is also me being very careful and about how Daisy should evolve in that space. So I've been thinking quite deeply about a wearable design and not just treating it as something we must do because everyone is just asking for it or because it feels like a must-have feature for low vision app.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't want to create another wearable app just for the sake of it. But what I'm interested in is not simply putting Daisy onto glasses because it's fashionable. It is should asking which Daisy functions generally become better when the camera on your face is rather than just in your hand. But at the same time, I mean, I want to say how much I appreciate our Daisy users. They are incredibly kind and patient. They never rush us, and instead they constantly share thoughtful and useful suggestions that already helping us to shape the direction of the product.
I don't know how popular this will be. I used the white cane mode and like I had put a lanyard around my neck with my phone and I was with my sister and she was like, walking me kind of onto poles, no, towards poles, and the thing was it move back, you're too close. So my sister
Well,
yanked
I know
me.
what bit I'm clipping for our social media now, Jackie, after you're saying that.
My sister trying to kill me, but like something like that, if it could ever be incorporated, because like you're especially it's at your eye level, you know that. No, I'm only 4 foot 9, so any kind of bushes kind of usually if a tree hits me, it is low. You know that if the glasses could pick something like that up, but the white cane would have and would again it was very accurate. It told me to move back at the right time.
So, talking about the white cam mode we built into Daisy, it's basically only available on a few phones. Like, if you use a Pro iPhone, you
Okay,
have
okay.
got this capacity, which is like this little dots there. It's called LiDAR,
Yeah.
and normal phones probably don't have that. And
Okay.
you will see there's a lot of AI apps claim that, you know, use your camera, you can detect obstacles. And we don't want to do that because, you know, we don't want to put user in the risk because AI can hallucinate. We all know that.
Oh yes, oh God,
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. One, yes,
And
yeah.
we don't want user to think that I can rely on my phone now. So we,
Yeah.
even though that I can say Apple's LiDAR is really, really accurate, but still, there's a disclaimer to before people use that is to say that just it's not a replacement for your
Yeah.
walking aid or guide dog or mobility training. This is like a kind of like an add-on feature.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something we would share with people as well. It's not going to be the be all and end all. You can't walk down the street now and ditch your dog with your cane and this app's going to tell you where to go. You know, but it was I just found it funny that I was heading very close and it told me
Oh,
and
sorry.
it yeah
Sorry
and
about
it
that.
and it and it and it told me to take go back. Like it was brilliantly.
Absolutely. What was the hardest feature you found to try and implement into Daisy, if you can think of one? Like, what was the one that you found the most difficult?
There's a quite few, to be honest. This user level and also feature level. Let me start from the user level. As you know, that Daisy started with a macular group as partially sight loss, if you like, and gradually we've since you know Sam from the Blind Life, he discovered Daisy by himself and featured Daisy on his program, and suddenly that we've got a lot of users from then. And we also have quite a lot of vision loss people with no vision function at all use Daisy. And one of the examples is that there's so many users emailed us to say that when you ask Daisy to read a document or read a label, can you ask Daisy to use the native phone robotic voice rather than the AI voice? Because the accuracy and the speed they want. I mean, for people with experienced voiceover users, they'd be fine with that. So we changed that, and we got email from people like saying, "Oh, I don't like Daisy now because you changed the voice to this robotic voice. We don't like it." So it's kind of like a judge, you know. There's a, you know, balance to please everybody in the way that how to go forward for that. And the other challenge is that how to make the speed faster, and again battling with AI, because anyone work with AI, we all know that apart from hallucination, and there's a quite a lot of other things. I'm not creating a game by using powered by AI. I'm creating something that somebody needs to rely on, especially people with a vulnerable situation. So accuracy is always needs to be put at the front. And so the challenge is that, you know, how to make sure the AI is accurate at the same time is that to make sure that, you know, provide almost instant experience. Because probably a user doesn't need to know that, but I can explain that the situation is that when somebody holding Daisy to point at something, taking a photo, that photo is being sent to the server and with OpenAI or Gemini, whatever, and they analyze that, generate a voice, send it back to your phone, and that takes time. So anything longer than 5 seconds, people lose patience. Say, oh, this takes too long. But I'm sure that this will be become better and better because, you know, AI is improving all the time. So that's also the part that I'm quite excited about in the future, yeah.
Well, like, I honestly hope you get more promotion for this. Like, we are promoting the hell out of it because, like, you know, I've seen it on Facebook and I was like, okay, I'll download and see. And it was, I was like, wow. And then I put it into a group and it, we were getting a lot of people to download it. And thanks, then, for agreeing to come on and talk.
Yeah, really, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much for that, because I mentioned that as a as an independent developer, you know, we don't have big budget for marketing. So, but also, you know, I'm really proud to say that we've got almost 10,000 users now, only in the past 3 months. So still quite new, and almost every single user came from another person recommend Daisy to them. There's no commercial promotion whatsoever. And the other thing is that I don't feel comfortable to bombard people on the Facebook group, especially if there's some like substantial features that we want to introduce to the user, we would do that. But I'm not gonna, you know, like bombard with, you know, ads or stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense, because it's a balance that you have to draw. Like, you don't want to absolutely annoy people to the point where they're like, no, I'm not. I'm going to ignore you out of spite, kind of. So where do you think Daisy will go in the future? Do you have a roadmap for future development of the app, or is it just kind of as features are suggested, or as you think of something, or is there an actual concrete plan?
So for the future, yes. I think actually I hope Daisy becomes simpler and not more complicated. As I said, that AI makes very tempting to keep adding features because technology, you know, allow us to do that nowadays. But every new button creates another decision for the user. So my long-term goal isn't for Daisy to have 500 clever features. It is for somebody with sight loss to be able to say what they need and to get help with the minimum possible friction. So mobile will continue to support everyday independence. I'm talking about Daisy mobile app. Hopefully that the other feature that we've been developing called Daisy Work can hopefully support employment and digital independence. And the smart glasses may eventually make some of the assistant much more hands-free. So yeah, the future of Daisy should feel simpler, even if the technology underneath become much more complicated. Yeah.
You mentioned Daisy Work there. Do you want to tell us a bit about what that might be, or do you want to keep that a bit quieter for?
That's fine. So yeah, what Daisy Work really is about a different problem. Using computer for sight loss can be incredibly powerful. So, but it can also involve a huge amount of learning. Screen reader commands, headings, links, shortcuts, forms, changing website structure, and so on. So Daisy Work is an attempt to put a simpler conversational layer over web tasks. So instead of having to know exactly where the particular button is, you might just say, you know, take me to BBC website. Found the weather, search for Glasgow, or fill that form for me. So Daisy helps carry out the mechanics, if you like, while the user remains in control. So, but also that's quite important. I want to say that I do not see Daisy Work as replacing JAWS or NVDA or VoiceOver, these are brilliant software. It's already used by hundreds, 10,000 people. But experienced screen reader users are incredibly, you know, fast with these tools. But I'm more interested in the in person who has recently lost sight, has limited IT confidence, or simply want to remove some of the clutters from a particular task. So yeah, that reminds me that one of the Daisy users told me that she hasn't been able to book a train ticket for the past 5 years to see her daughter in Leeds. And I know for us, like, you know, it's easy just filling a form, but these are kind of things I mentioned in the video that is climbing a mountain for sight loss people. So the goal of Daisy work isn't to replace these screen reader, it's to reduce the number of things that the user has to think about. Eventually, you know, helping people to feel independent and remain in employment or back to the employment.
But yeah, you know, I know Daisy is kind of built for, say, people with visual blind or vision impairment, but that Daisy work sense, it could really work for someone who they has dexterity issue with their hands or can't use a mouse, can't use a computer properly, that they can speak and control the computer that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And also that not all the vision sight loss people knows how to use the complicated shortcut for software like JAWS and NVDA. Yeah. And somebody might recently lost sight, and they probably have already, you know, probably it's my age, like 50, and lost the ability to learn things very fast. When we were like teenagers, we learned things like picking up and we got it. Nowadays that, you know, it takes huge amount of effort to learn things. So I hope that Daisy work is to help that kind of people in that area to solve. Its idea actually is from Daisy mobile app, because I think Daisy mobile app can help people to understand the physical world, and the Daisy work is to help people to understand the virtual world. And nowadays we do 90% of our work on the web browser. I mean, you know, Google Docs, shopping, online banking, book a ticket, everything is based on the web page. So it's that kind of idea to get rid of all the complicated things and to help user to be able to use web page again, to use their laptop. Probably they've been, you know, abandoned in the corner for many years. Yeah,
that is true. Would you ever think that Daisy work would, like, something similar would be able to come to the smartphone? Like, would you be able to implement that into the Daisy mobile work, and you can talk to it and get it to do actions on your phone? Or would it be too locked down with iOS and Android to allow Daisy to do that on the mobile?
You actually ask a very interesting question, Stuart. And I want to say that during my experience developing apps, especially not the web SaaS apps, you are not battling with the technology. You're actually battling with the platform, like Apple and the Google. They have very strict privacy regulations. You know, what you can access, what your app can read. I mean, for example, somebody say that, you know, oh, can Daisy help me to open my WhatsApp? Technically, I can, but it's not shippable because Apple will reject that, because that rule is not applied for a third party app to control other apps or control, you know. Having said that, you might want to fill that out, but Apple, they do that. That tells a lot.
Yeah.
But so the possibility is there, and it probably is not there right now, but while we're developing along the journey, and we will see there's a needs there. And probably you're right, that's the area that we can look into that in the future.
Wow, that just sounds so amazing.
So, I think that's all the questions I have, Jackie. Do you have
Yeah,
any more?
no, I'm the same, but I want to thank you so much for doing this interview. We are honored to actually have you on our show. Because your app is amazing, and the very best of luck for what you're going to have in the future with it.
Absolutely, and you're always welcome back if you ever want to come back and talk to us again in the future. So yeah, just get that in there.
thank you so much. One thing I want to mention that, you know, and a kind of like a tribute, where the name Daisy come from. So, the name of the Daisy, there's actually a very personal reason for the name. So years ago, while we were away on a holiday, and we found a tiny kitten who was blind, and we never really knew what had happened to her. So we think that she might have a tiny bit of an amount of the vision, but essentially she couldn't see. So we adopt her and called her Daisy. She was such a sweetheart, and even though she couldn't see us, she gave us incredible amount of affection and trust. So she never seemed to define by the fact that she was blind. She just adapt and go on life. So sadly, but she passed away, but she's always stayed with me in my heart. So when I needed a name for the app, Daisy felt right, and it's a small tribute to her. And I suppose that in a strange way that she's still helping people right now.
That
Oh,
is
that's so sweet.
absolutely, that is amazing. That is honestly the best story for naming an app that I have ever heard. And yeah,
The same as that. Oh, that's so lovely.
that is absolutely amazing. And thank you for letting us know that. Now
Yeah,
that
thanks the same.
that has put a smile on my face for
Yeah,
the rest of the
no,
day now.
the
Thank
very
you.
same as that. And a lovely way to end the interview. That is fantastic.
Thank you so
Yes,
much. Thank you for the
and thank you
opportunity.
so much.
Billy started listening. That's where it all began. Not saying here's what you need, but asking how can I understand? He heard the everyday experiences, the barriers people knew, from people who were blind or vision impaired, who knew what technology could do. He listened to the problems, to the things that got in the way. And with his knowledge and experience, an idea began that day. What if a phone could lend a hand with the things you need to see? What if clever technology could offer more independence easily? Navigation, or to know what's up ahead, ask Daisy for assistance and hear the answer read. Looking for your missing keys that vanished into space. Daisy might just help you track them down and find their place. tiny kitten had been found, so vulnerable and small, and little Daisy couldn't see the world around at all. Yes, Daisy was a blind kitten with whiskers, paws, and fur, and when the app needed a name, what better name than hers? A little blind kitten called Daisy became part of something new, an app designed to make the world more accessible. About what they need, and here's to Billy listening, then turning words to deeds. Because the cleverest technology doesn't start with what it knows. It starts by asking people, then listening as it grows. From finding things to navigation, from clothing to what's near. A question asked through Daisy can bring an answer to your ear.
Daisy, Daisy,
tell me what's around.
Help me find what I've been searching for.
Help me get around. Describe the world that's in front of me. Tell me what you find. Technology designed to help with accessibility in mind.
Daisy, Daisy,
a little idea grew. Behind the name is Daisy, a little story worth recalling. A tiny kitten who couldn't see gave a name to an app that helps people understand.